Programming is supported by Topline Construction Firm, your local women-owned roofing contractor based out of Shoreview, Minnesota. Roof replacement, both retail and insurance work. More information at toplineconstructionfirm.com.
You're listening to a recording of a live radio show on NPR News. If you want to listen to us in real time, you can stream our show live weekdays at 9 and 11 a.m. Central. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Back to the conversation now with the latest Supreme Court decision on the union case here. And we're turning now to Will Brewster from Rutgers, and he's a labor professor. And Will, welcome. It's good to have you on the show.
Great. Thank you for having me.
I do want to say that the Supreme Court has decided that employees of public sectors who are represented by a union do not have to pay those union dues. What else can you tell us about how the court came to this decision?
Well, the court overturned a 41-year-old decision, Abood versus the Detroit Board of Education, which was a ruling in the 1970s that stated that while a union, a public sector union, cannot compel somebody to be a union member, a full member of a union as a condition of employment, they could have to pay fees for representation. So, for instance, I'm a member of a public sector union at Rutgers, the American Association of University Professors, American Federation of Teachers. Up until this court ruling, I always had the choice, and my colleagues had the choice of whether or not we wanted to be full members of our union. I am a full member of the union and a very active member. But even if I chose not to be a member of the union, I would have had to pay about 85% of the full union dues. That's how it works in New Jersey, and it may work a little bit different in Minnesota or other states that have these arrangements. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, the union, our union, would have to represent me, even though I was a non-member. I'd get all the same benefits under the contract. If my rights were violated under the contract, I would still be afforded representation as if I were a regular member. So what the Abood decision did 41 years ago was try to balance the First Amendment rights of workers about whether or not they wanted to be a union member with the obligation that a public sector union or really any union has to represent the workers and its bargaining unit.
And now the court is saying that if you do not wish to be a member of that union and pay those union dues, you no longer have to. Is that right?
Yeah. And in fact, and I'll have to read the decision more closely, but from my brief reading of it this morning, said that I believe that unions cannot take fees from anybody who's not a member, not anybody who hasn't affirmatively joined.
I see.
So this really does change things for public sector unions.
I want to read you what Justice Elena Kagan said in her dissent. She said this decision will have large scale consequences. Public employee unions will lose a secure source of financial support. State and local governments that thought fair share provisions furthered their interests will need to find new ways of managing their workforces. Do you think she's right as she projects ahead what this means for public sector unions?
I do think she's correct. It is going to be, at least in the short term, a major problem for public sector unions like AFSCME, like the American Federation of Teachers, National Education Association, Service Employees International Union, and others. Over half of the labor movement in the United States right now is made up of public sector union members.
Wow.
And those are concentrated in non-right-to-work states like New Jersey, Pennsylvania, New York, California, Washington, Oregon, Illinois, Minnesota, just to give you some examples. In fact, those would really be some of the major states for public sector union membership, and also states that have generally higher union membership density anyway. And creating a right-to-work situation for those public sector unions does undermine the ability of public sector unions in those states to bargain a contract with a union security provision. There is a worry, I think, and this would go for some people in management in these states as well, to, creates questions about, the administration of contracts, the rights of non-members under the contract, and so forth.
Okay.
And also, as we've seen in other states too, where these arrangements don't exist, that, you know, sometimes public sector workers, like we've seen in West Virginia and Kentucky and North Carolina and Arizona recently, workers have taken more direct action approaches to,
exactly,
to labor relations, because they don't have. They really don't have a mechanism for true collective bargaining.
Yeah, well, let me interrupt here for a moment just to invite our listeners into the conversation. Will Brewster is with us. He is at Rutgers, where he's a labor professor, and we're getting his insight on this decision from the U.S. Supreme Court that says, in the Janus case, that says that non-union members do not, in public sector unions, I should say, do not have to pay fees. It's a case essentially about whether government employees who are represented by a union to which they don't belong or don't want to belong can be required to pay a fee to cover the costs of collective bargaining. And the U.S. Supreme Court said no. Now, we're going to open the phone lines now, but we're going to do a more in-depth dive here at 11 o'clock with two new guests. But if you have some initial questions as a member of a union, of a public sector union, as somebody who believes in unions or not, here's an opportunity to talk to Will about the details of this decision and then come back and listen in and join in at 11. 651-227-6000, 800-242-2828, and on Twitter at CarrieMPR. One of the arguments, Will, has been that And as you pointed this out, that some members of unions have been taking more direct action. We saw that with the teachers. One of the arguments has been that if the unions were representing their constituencies better, that there wouldn't be questions by people, the union membership wouldn't be dropping, and there wouldn't be questions from people who say, why do I have to support this? I don't believe that they bring me any benefits. Is the court acknowledging that, and how would you answer that?
I mean, at least from my understanding with the conservative justices, I'm sure that's part of their rationale, that they're being responsive to anti-union public sector workers and their concerns over subsidizing speech that they don't agree with. But what I'd like to say is that, you know, public sector unions, we've seen this over the last few years, especially because there was going to be a case 2 years ago, Friedrichs versus CTA, which would have done the same thing. Public sector unions have put a lot of emphasis into organizing people in their bargaining units. So, you know, like any workforce, there's as older public sector employees retire, you know, new people come to work, and maybe their first experience working in a unionized workplace.
Mm-hmm.
And, the active members of the union in those workplaces reach out to those new members and they get them to join. And they've been very successful in doing that. A lot of unions, as well as my own, have had a lot of success in talking to people who have been agency fee payers in the past, who were never really, some cases were never really asked to join. At the time when they were initially asked to join, didn't really understand the value or see the value or the benefit of joining, or they had some grievance with the decisions our union was making as a whole. But on further conversation and further outreach, many people then voluntarily joined. And that is the way forward, I think, for public sector unions, is that they have to continue to organize those workers who are not yet members,
but also making the case that there is value to paying the dues and being part of the union.
Yeah.
Let me grab a call here from Olivia in Plymouth. Hi, Olivia, your question.
Hi, I am a part-time employee at an after-school program for our public school,
mm-hmm.
And I was wondering, with these new fees, I paid them since I started working without fully joining the union.
Uh-huh.
What will the effects of this, and will I see a lack of benefits taken away from me, and will those benefits be taken moving forward?
Well, do you have a sense of what that might mean for part-time employees?
Olivia, that's a great question. So under the Supreme Court ruling, as I understand it, and I want to preface this to say that I'm a labor historian, not a labor lawyer, is that you know, your union that represents you in your workplace, even as a part-time employee, will not, under the new arrangement, be allowed to take representation fees or agency fees or fair share fees, whatever they're called in your situation, from you going forward. However, that union still has to represent you under the contract with all the same rights as they would with a full dues paying member. However, if everyone, and this goes for my bargaining unit and your bargaining unit and everyone out there, opts out of full membership, then effectively a union will cease to exist and you will not have the ability to negotiate with your employer over wages, hours, working conditions, or anything like that.
Okay.
And, you know, this is my belief, and that it's in the, you know, it's in the interest of workers to band together to support their public sector unions. And but that is your choice, Olivia, to do that.
Okay.
And
so, Will, let me get one more question in here, if I might. And I'm going to tell you, we have 2 minutes left for this. Serafina says, if union dues need not be paid, does this release the union from having to represent said employees in disciplinary actions? So if you choose not to be a member of the union will not represent you in disciplinary actions, yes?
No, that's not the case right now. So
as it stands with the decision.
As it stands right now, all the decision does is say that people who were agency fee payers do not, you know, cannot and will not pay agency fees to unions anymore, or I guess it says that unions cannot collect those fees. But what the ruling does not do is change the way a collective bargaining agreement or a contract works in any other way. Any worker who is in a bargaining unit is represented by the union, and the union needs to represent them anyway. What could possibly happen, as may be happening in New York right now, and I believe has already happened in Florida, which is a right-to-work state that has public sector collective bargaining, is that contracts could be renegotiated, state laws could be amended to change that situation so that, you know, maybe workers have to then pay their fee to get representation.
Okay.
But a lot of...
Forgive me here. I have to interrupt. I'm out of time, and I appreciate your insight on this. Thank you. Will Brusher is a labor professor at Rutgers. We'll talk more about what the Supreme Court decision means on unions at 11 o'clock. President Donald Trump weighed in minutes after the decision was handed down, while Justice Alito was still reading a summary of it from the bench, and the president tweeted, "Big loss for the coffers of the Democrats." More on this at 11.
This was a recording of a live radio show on NPR News. To add your voice to our discussion, you can call in at 800-242-2828 or tweet Carrie at KERRI NPR. And if you miss us live, you'll find all of our shows by subscribing to this podcast. If you have questions, you can email us at talk@npr.org.